All right. Why don't we all rise and have a word of prayer here before we get started? Yes, our Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be able to come here, gather together as brothers and sisters in one body because of one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, and one Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we can gather here. And we thank you, Lord, that your word can help us to understand and we can grasp who you are. Lord, there's so many distractions. We've heard of that already this morning. There's so many distractions. I pray in the name of Jesus that those distractions could be paused. And Lord, that you would reveal yourself in the midst of that pause, that people would know who you are and who you are to them. Speak to us here this morning by your word and by your Holy Spirit. Use this vessel as you see fit. We commit this time into your hands. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we've been making our way through the book of Ephesians. It's been a good journey for me to limit myself to a certain passage. I read a quote the other day that limits are where freedom is found. I'm not sure if I'm saying it quite right, but limits, like when you think about it, let's just use the example of so if you have a budget, if you do a budget, a financial budget, you know that's restrictive, right? There's limits. You can't just, I want a Coke, you know. But in that budget, then there's also freedom. Because I saved here or because I didn't get that Coke, now I can go get this because I have the cash for it and I can do it. You see how that limits free us. And so the limits of going through the book of Ephesians has limited me, but it has also freed me to just simply look at what Paul is saying to the church of Ephesus there. So I've been enjoying it. I hope you have been. I guess you'll have to pull me aside and just say, could you change it up or something? I welcome that. So yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll just read the next portion of Scripture that we're hoping to look at here today. Why don't you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? We will be reading chapter 4, 1 through 6. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. I invite you to turn the Word of God, if you have it here, and follow along. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, get this, in you all. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bring it to life here this morning. You may be seated. This is God's word. So, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul is saying, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And I think it's pretty important. I see a transitioning happening here. I don't know if it jumped out to you or if you're thinking about it, but there's a transition here. So Paul was, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, Paul was more describing of what Christ had done for us. But here, now he's directly addressing them. He says, beseech you. So to me, it feels like there's a shift. Prior to this, he was just going down through, this is who God is, this is what he did for you, this is, and now therefore, walk worthy. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye have been called. And so I think for that transition, I think what I'd like to do is just to make sure, in case we didn't get it in the last 8 messages or since we went through all chapter 3, I think I'd like to just bring us back to that platform, because if we don't understand that platform, if we don't get to, if we don't have the knowledge of that platform, of that foundation, of that launching pad of what Christ has done for us, I feel like all the things that we do, the things that we want to walk out, the understanding of our vocation gets skewed. Satan just loves to skew that message. He uses all those things that we talked about. He uses many different things to skew that message, and our launching pad is hindered. The power of the gospel is hindered because we don't quite get and we don't quite know it and we don't quite understand what the gospel is engaging us into. So I'd like to just lay again that good foundation so that as we transition from that part of the gospel to now us walking it out, that we can be successful, that we actually live it out in a very good way. The title of the message is, Now You Can Walk Worthy. Now you can walk worthy. And I'd like to lay that foundation. Why can you walk worthy? Let's look at what Christ has done for us. So we are recipients of the gospel. We have received the gospel. We receive that by faith. As recipients, we should have an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude typically is encased in humbleness and in meekness. Have you ever saw a really proud person, but he was really, really thankful? Maybe you have. I don't know. But to me, see, it's a contrast. I wish I could unpack that better, but I'm limited for words. May the Spirit illuminate our thoughts about that whole, the difference of that. All right, so we are recipients. We have received. I'm just going to go down through. We're going to start in verse 1. I invite you to open your scriptures with me. We're going to lay again that foundation of that gospel, that this is what we have received, this is what God has done, and it's what we get to, it's where we can live out and walk worthy. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Because you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings, now you can walk worthy. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is all done before you've done anything. This is established. This is done. And when we believe and we have faith in him, we are chosen. Because we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, you and I can walk worthy. Holy Spirit, let this sink in. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Because we have been adopted by Jesus Christ himself. Now, we can live and walk a worthy life. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You are accepted. And because you are accepted, now you can walk out into the world and walk a worthy life. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, our sins are forgiven according to the riches of his grace. Because we have redemption and because we are forgiven, now you and I can walk a worthy life to the vocation wherewith we have been called. Verse 8, wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Because he hath abounded towards us with all wisdom and prudence, we can walk out a worthy life. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Because he planned beforehand that we should obtain an inheritance. We have an inheritance, brothers and sisters. We have an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, I can walk a worthy life. Are you getting it? Is this becoming redundant? We're not even done yet. I mean, we could be. But why? Paul spent the time trying to help the Ephesians to get that understanding that this is their foundation. This is the only way they're going to be able to walk out a worthy life. If this is their root, if this is what they're grounded in, the work that is already finished, even before we even started walking, it's done. You are accepted. You are forgiven. You are... That is our launching pad. I wish I had a better analogy. I wonder what you guys are thinking of. Foundation, launching pad. I wonder what's going through your mind. What are you thinking of? Just that. This is what's going to make the gospel work out. A few more yet. Well, maybe not a few more. Quite a few more yet. Let's just keep going down through here. I want you to get this. And I think Paul wanted, as he wrote the letter to Ephesians and he was sitting there in prison, it seemed to me like he really wanted us to get it. I mean, the church at Ephesus to get it. Can I want this for us too? That we would get the finished work of the gospel, even before we take the first step of our walk. Verse 13 and 14. I'm just going to read what my little notes here instead of actually using the scripture. You're welcome to follow along. You're welcome to look at the verse, but I'm not going to read it. Verse 13 and 14, because ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's sealed, and it's that seal is the Spirit. Now that you have the Spirit, you can walk out a life that is worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Verse 19, because there is greatness of mighty power towards those that believe. There is power to those that believe. Now you are energized with power. Now you can walk out this worthy life of the vocation wherewith you are called. Chapter 2, verse 1. Because when we were dead in trespasses and sins, but we have been quickened. Now we can walk out. Now you can walk out a worthy life. Chapter 2, verse 8, because you have been saved by grace through faith, not by your own works, now you can walk out a worthy life. Chapter 2, 11 and through 13, because we had no hope as people, as a generation, as Gentiles, we had no hope. But we are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Now we can walk out a worthy life. 19, verse 19 of chapter 2. Because we are fellow citizens of the household of God, now we can walk out a worthy life. Chapter 3, verse 16. Because we have been strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, now we can walk out this worthy life. So like I said, this is the power of the gospel. And we enter into this power, we enter into this reality by faith. It's not by sight, it's not by feeling, it's not by my might, but it's believing that these things, I have an inheritance. I am a child of God. I have been forgiven. I believe that by faith, and by faith, I will walk out a life worthy of living. I am empowered by His grace and by His power. So, I just invite, does anybody have a better thought or a better imagination of what this is? I'm calling it a launching pad. I'm calling it a foundation. But what are you thinking of? Do you have any visuals for us that could help us on Monday morning, or help us in the middle of Wednesday morning when I need to be reminded that that's my launching pad as I face into the day? It's because of what this side of the gospel has done. I can walk out a worthy life. Because that's where it's going to really matter. It's not here Sunday morning. It's not this Sunday morning, you get it. It's about Wednesday or Thursday or whenever it is that you recognize that you have this launching pad. Any visuals? Any thoughts? We are entitled. Absolutely. We are entitled. I'm entitled to this position. Yeah. Works for me. Because if we're not entitled to this, guess what has to happen? I'm going to have to do all kinds of whatevers. But that's not the gospel then. That's your own self-righteousness. Was there a hand back here? The wind in your sails. Good. I'm sorry? Rocket with a destination. Rockets. Thursday. Linden is sailing. Why? Because of the finished work of the gospel. Hallelujah. That's what God intended. That's what That's power. Wow. And you, brother and sister, yeah, Friday morning. Isn't this exciting? That we get to live out and we get to walk out a worthy life because of the finished work of Christ. That needs to bend our knee to the recognition that because on Friday morning when I get up and I have power to face the day because of what he's done. See, and that is humbleness, and we can face the day with gratitude and humility, and we got power. Do you get it? Any other visuals? I like what you guys are thinking. Yes. That God would open our eyes of understanding. Like Paul's heart beat in, I think it's in chapter 2, where he longs for us. Maybe it's chapter 3, where he just longs for the church to get it, that they would know the love of God which passes understanding. Such that deep foundation. Okay. I think the class is ready to move on. Why am I teaching? But you know what? I think you're getting it, right? So, back to chapter 4. Now into chapter 4. So, Paul is beseeching. He is inviting us. He is beckoning us to walk a worthy life. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. So, in verse 1. So, I, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to you to live a life worthy of the calling which you have been called. And so now they're going to describe what that looks like. That is, to live a life that exhibits godly character. A life that has moral courage. A life with personal integrity. And mature behavior. Pretty high stuff. A life that expresses gratitude to God for your salvation. But we can do that because of the rocket fuel that Lyndon has. We can do that because of the foundation that we have in Jesus Christ. We can have a life that has godly character. Because we surrendered our lives to the Lord. We are led by His Spirit. We can have moral courage. We can have mature behavior. And we can express gratitude. So Paul is appealing to you, live out that life worthy. A worthy vocation wherewith you're called. Oh, that ye may know of that foundation so that you can walk out that vocation. All right, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, I think we'll just stop with that. So to me, with all lowliness and weakness, to me that is describing an attitude. It's describing an attitude of humility. with all humility, forsaking any self-righteousness. And if we reflect back to that foundation, we recognize that it's not my own works, and therefore we can come to this gospel with humility, recognizing that rocket fuel is not of my own doing. That foundation is not of my own doing. We have nothing to boast in. And so therefore we just come humbly and say, I receive by faith the position, the rocket fuel, the foundation that you have given to me. And we just come to life with that humility. But it's in that humility that the power of the gospel is worked in us and through us. You're going to need it, brothers and sisters. You're going to need that attitude. You're going to need that kind of thinking so that you can do the next statement. What is the next statement? Are you with me? We were talking about lowliness and meekness. What is the next thing that part of the walking out is calling us to? What is it? Verse 2. Long suffering. Think of it this way. If we didn't have that foundation, if we didn't have the forgiveness of sin that we've done, if we would have worked out our own salvation with our own self-righteousness, do you think we would have any grace or any long-suffering to our neighbor, to our brother? We'd like, pull yourself up with your bootstraps. Come on, let's go. We got. Do you see why it's important to know and understand chapters 1 through 3? This is not your own doing. I've received this as a gift. And now because I've received it as a gift, now I can also gift you with long suffering. And then we can walk out a life worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. And that's not enough, long-suffering. It's also forbearing one another. That means beforehand or whatever, just bear it all up. And when I live the gospel life based on all that Christ's done for me, then I can do this. Then I can live this life. I can walk this life of a worthy calling. My thoughts kind of have been, it's kind of along the theme of, we respond. So Christ was the initiator. Christ laid this foundation. Christ gave us forgiveness. Christ done all these things. And it seems to me like, I mean, the way I'm thinking about it this morning is, we get to respond to what he's done. You know, we don't react, we respond. And responding to the gospel has a different feeling than working your own salvation out. I'm struggling with finding words to be able to describe what I'm feeling, but so Christ has done all of this. And now we respond to that. And we respond to that gospel by being long-suffering, by forbearing. feel like I'm not giving that justice. Maybe I'll use the illustration of a guy shows, a young man shows some interest to a young lady. And so he pursues her a little bit. And she either responds or she doesn't. Right? Fireworks start to happen when she responds. Eh? Typically. And maybe I shouldn't use the word fireworks. Maybe I should use, but you know what I mean? Like heart, excitement, emotions. That's all good. He initiated, she responded. Christ initiated the gospel, we respond to it. And when that happens, it's a life worthy of living. We respond by trusting. We respond by believing. We respond by allowing him to work in us. We are the potter. No. Yes. No, I am the clay. He is the potter. We mold. See, he's the initiator. He molds. We comply. And it's that. That's the completing of the gospel, is that back and forth. When we have the mindset of the Lord has his attention on us and we are responding to the Lord, our attention is on him and his agenda. See, when we respond to his agenda, when we respond to his calling, it's no longer I, it's Christ. The question is not so much about what we accomplish. It becomes more about how we respond to what he has given. And this is starting to shift into that attitude of gratitude. If we think of the parable of the talents, where one had been given five, one had been given two, one had been given one. If we see the mindset of the one that received one, I don't think he had the understanding of the launching pad that we were describing. Do you remember? He felt like he was a hard taskmaster. But the other two felt like he's a very gracious giver. And it's out of that they were able to respond. Respond with gratitude, having the right attitude, with lowliness and meekness. Romans chapter 1 describes a people that that didn't walk a life worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. Let's jump in verse 21, Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like the incorruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them also up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts and dishonor their bodies between them. So here we can see that if we don't have this launching pad as our platform, we become vain. We aren't thankful. We become proud. We become our own. We go about doing our own righteousness. Picture with me in the Garden of Eden when the serpent came to Eve to tempt her. If she would have been able to reflect on that launching pad, that rocket fuel, the day that Satan tried to tempt her with all those lies. Let's just say on Wednesday morning she got up and she had an interaction with the serpent. And her launching pad was based off of that whole list that we just went through. She would have came to that reality with, I've been forgiven. I have that foundation. I am a child of the King. I have been adopted. I have an inheritance. God is not against me. God is for me. He is not withholding anything good from me. And she would have entered that conversation with that as her launching pad. Do you think it would have changed the reality of that day? I think it does. And I think it affects us too today. If we don't come to life, if we don't interact with that kind of day-to-day reality of what the gospel is to us, we get deceived. And Satan just loves it. Like Tyler said, Satan loves this. He uses this to his advantage all the time. But Paul uses the letter and he says it over and over and over again. Just, you have a position, you have a place, you have a foundation, you have rocket fuel, you have the power of the gospel, you have been forgiven. Do you get it? Oh, that you would get it Thursday morning. Yep, I have a place. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, I can do this. I don't feel it. I don't have what it takes. But you, O Lord, I can face my Esau. I can face my Esau. Oh, praise to Him who reigns above, all majesty supreme. It's an attitude of how we see the gospel living out. Oh, that we would respond. Oh, that we would get this so that we can walk a walk worthy and walk worthy of that vocation wherewith we have been called. Sorry, I'm trying to decide if I want to go on into the unity of the Spirit. I think we will. I think we will. Let's just take a little bit of time. So, going on into verse 3 then, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I found it really interesting how that Paul uses endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit. It seems to me like he wants us to focus on the Spirit, and that should be our focus. And I just want to invite you to think with me, if we focus on the Holy Spirit as that being our unity, think with me here a little bit. So if I focus on the Holy Spirit, you focus on the Holy Spirit, we're both being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Do you think that's a platform? Do you feel like that's a framework where unity can begin? If you are focusing on the Spirit, I am focusing on the Spirit, and we sit there and we're curious about what the Spirit is doing in each other's life. That begins to become holy ground. But the only way to do that really well is by understanding that we have that side of the gospel is our position. And because we have that gift of the Spirit, and we can sit there with that, and we become united in the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that also dwells with God and the Son, and they are one. And if we go on into verse 4, there is one body, which is talking about the church, from my understanding, and there is one Spirit. Even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. One. Paul appears to be calling the church of Ephesus to unity. It's interesting to me that he's calling us to the unity of the Spirit. It seems to me if we focus on the Spirit for our unity, we will have greater chance of actually reaching unity. Rather than focusing so intently on each other. The Spirit that needs to work in my brother's life is the same Spirit that needs to work in me. And together we become into the image of God. Paul invites the church at Ephesus to unity. I invite us to unity in the Spirit. Paul also describes some ways in which way to think. I am convinced that what Paul is prescribing for unity works. Lowliness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. I am convinced that that format works. I am convinced that we can reach unity by the prescription that Paul is giving here in Ephesians chapter 4. Unity in the Spirit is possible if we have humility, if we are meek, if we are long-suffering with other shortcomings, we forbear. I'm not convinced that I'm always walking in that. And so if you sense this unity, it could be that I am not walking in the unity of the Spirit, or that I'm not being meek, or I'm not bearing long. I think that's where our struggle comes from, is our lack of submitting to that prescription. So as we reflect on all that Christ has done for us, I feel like we have a much greater ability to walk worthy when we reflect on our position in Christ, when we reflect on the power that God gives us, when we reflect on the rocket fuel, the deep foundation that wasn't built on the sand. But if I choose to focus on others, if I choose to focus on my circumstances, if I choose what rights I have as a person, I begin to walk a walk that's not worthy. I like to think the gospel has two sides. The side that Christ has done and all that God has done for us, and the other side is how that we live it out with others. Because Christ, I can walk worthy. The question is, will I surrender my all to Him and respond with humility and gratitude to His calling? So I just want to invite you to reflect on all that God has done. I want to invite you to a life of gratitude, a life of humility, a life of surrender to what God wants to do in our lives. And when we can do that, I feel like we're venturing close to what it means to walk out a life worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. By God's grace, let's enter in. And if you see Lyndon streaking through the air, would you just stop and praise the power of God? I mean, that is the only reason you and I can be a successful Christian. It is the only reason you and I can walk a life worthy of living is because of the finished work of the cross. Now go, therefore, in that strength. Thank you for your time and attention and your interaction.